Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with a practical playbook that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I am incredibly excited to be joined by Jim Gilkey, who is the official account executive of Scrappy ABM. You hear that right. We have hired our first seller that is going to help us actually scale our own ABM programs from a sales perspective. So I thought it was a great and very fitting opportunity to bring Jim on the show and talk through specifically the role of sales in an ABM program. So Jim, thank you so much for joining me today. Separately, thank you so much for joining the company. But yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself real quick.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mason. I am thrilled to be here. As you know very well, since we've known each other for a few years now, I'm just obsessed with everything ABM related. I was in a role in marketing where I had to figure out what the heck is ABM and launch a program. And over a lot of tripping and stumbling, I eventually figured it out. And at the end of that first year, we were already at over 1,000% return on investment from the program. And at that point, I reached out to a platform that we were using, Terminus, and asked if I could come work there because I wanted to help more people learn how to do ABM and to have some of the success that I was able to have. And so joining that company was really a blessing because so much of the conversation that I had, so many of the questions that people were asking me were the same questions that I had when I was trying to figure it out. And so I was only about 6 months in before I said, hey, I need to start a show around this. And I launched a podcast called Account-Based Beverages, which I know you're familiar with since I had you on as a guest. And it was a blast. Got to hear some of the best advice that's really practical and actionable from some of the brightest minds in the industry. And eventually got to the point where people were having me on podcasts and I was getting speaking engagements during conferences. And Terminus came back to me and said, hey, you're giving a lot of strategy advice to people that may or may not end up going with us. So can you come to the client side and help advise people that are currently working with us and help them with their ABM strategy? So spent the last year that I was with Terminus on the existing business side, but that puts me in a kind of unique position because now I've worked in marketing, in ABM, in sales, in ABM, and in account management, customer service with ABM.
Yeah, you're a bit of a unicorn on that front because you sat in all three revenue orgs in an ABM context in the past 6 years. So super stoked to have you on the team. What I want to dig into is, again, we often talk about this concept of marketing sales alignment. It's like the number one thing that is the reason an ABM program may end up failing. I've talked with many, many marketers about the role of how to support from an alignment perspective. But I'm always curious, as we actually get questions now primarily from chief revenue officers that we're working with, what's my job? Like, what is my job? How do I help my sales team get bought in? So Jim, I want to start there. Like, when you think about ABM and specifically sales and sales role in an ABM program, like, what is sales job in the first place when we think about ABM?
Yeah, a lot of companies are sales first. And I think that's good because that's what helps the company grow and keeps the lights on for the most part. But the way that they are a little bit short-sighted is by thinking of this as a one-way track. So the typical company setup right now is sales has a standing meeting. Every so often, marketing pops in, probably once a quarter, says, hey, here's our campaigns that we have going this quarter. Please send people to our webinar, or please send over some, you know, list of email addresses for us to invite people to this event, or maybe even send a direct mail gift if they're a little bit more advanced. But it's always that one way. And what happens is salespeople have a lot of things that they're trying to juggle, a lot of things in their mind at the time. So, you know, if they're paying attention, they'll get a lot of it. But even then, a lot of it goes out the other ear, you know, when they're leaving the room. And so they come to a place where they, maybe if you have a tech stack that's a little bit more advanced, will see some signals and they're asking themselves, what do these signals mean? What do I do with this? And how does this fit into my normal workflow of a day? And marketing leaves that meeting crickets. They're not hearing anything from the sales org. And so there's kind of two parts of this. One, how do you reduce friction with the sales team and enable them so that they know what should I be prioritizing in my time and what do I do about this signal? What does it mean? And so a lot of the conversations that I have and a lot of what I've tried to build myself is just clear communication on, hey, here is not just a signal, not just some random score, but here's a trigger of some meaningful action that somebody that you're trying to talk to has taken, and here's what you should do with it. And then likewise, on the other side, with salespeople on conversations all the time with prospects, there's questions that they're being asked. There are common objections that they're running into and common goals of what their prospects are trying to accomplish. And those are things that marketing needs to know, because they're the creative genius that helps create these assets and helps distribute them to these individuals that could potentially start them further down the process of not having to ask those questions on call one, but let's just jump straight into call two and shorten our sales cycle a little bit.
Admittedly, that is one of my favorite components of the partnership between marketing and sales, is getting those pieces of feedback and actually hearing directly from the sales team. These are the questions that our customers are asking. I've heard this outline recently, probably past 6 months, of like, the job of marketing is to educate as much as humanly possible. The job of sales is to fill in the gaps. So like, if sales can then help marketing identify what gaps people are still coming in with, we can educate that even better on the front end. So I love that from just a clear, simple, actionable thought process on like, how does sales, or what does sales want specifically from marketing? The other thing I'd love to just dig into is like, very practically and tactically, like, what does this relationship ideally look like on a week in and week out basis? Like, you've already referenced that instead of maybe joining once a quarter, they probably join a little more often. They have a more active hand in how do we push a deal forward. But I'm just curious from you, like, when you've seen this done well, what did that relationship actually look like in a week in and week out basis from a tactical perspective?
Yeah, there are a few different options, you know, getting really practically about this and how it's set up. But there has to be a normal cadence, and there has to be involvement from both sides at every step of this. So I had a business coach that I worked with. She always said, people endorse what they co-create. So this is marketing creating a list of accounts and saying, hey, sales, I want you to call into these accounts. It's not going to work very well because sales is not going to be bought in. Likewise, if sales has a list of accounts that they want to go after just because they think the logos are cool and they would love to say that, hey, I brought in this account, and they say that to marketing, they're probably not going to be super bought in on trying to market those accounts. So when you're building that client list, looking at the data and having that advise you, but also bringing in, hey, these are some of the accounts that would be cool to have brought in because they're similar or they're big logos and we know what that could do for our business, is a big foundation or starting block, you know, for the relationship. And then once you get into it, again, if you're never done any of this before, start with a pilot group, maybe the one AE that's really excited about this, maybe the, you know, two or three accounts that you can build a one-to-one campaign, and you don't need some fancy tech stack to do that. But let's prove that this works. And then, you know, that salesperson is just going to tell every single person they know in the org how well that this worked for them. And then that is a really great way to get buy-in for everybody else. But practically speaking, when you have these programs running, you should be meeting on a weekly or maybe bi-weekly basis, depending on the intensity of the campaign and the number of accounts that are on it. And you should be updating each other. Here are some of the touch points that a salesperson has had and what has gained traction and what hasn't. There's a lot of times that we will put messages together as marketers for sales teams, and they will try to use them and it maybe doesn't work, but marketing never gets that feedback of, hey, here are the pieces that worked and here's the pieces that haven't. Can we tweak this a little bit? So it should be a conversation. And then on the other side, for marketing, they have these assets that they're creating and the programs that they're running, but to hear how many of the accounts have started to engage and what place that they're at, that really is important to have on a normal basis, because then that can advise, hey, what is the next strategy that we're going to start to run with these? If we don't have the normal touch point on a weekly or biweekly cadence and know where these accounts are within this, you know, funnel, if you want to call it that, then it's hard for marketing to think a step ahead on what is the next phase of this. How do we take them from an initial engagement to something that's a little bit more meaningful, to actual meetings and conversations with sales? And so you need to be thinking of those different phases, because if you don't, you're going to end up with a program that's always focused on that initial touch point and you're not going to get the conversions into the actual conversations with sales because you're not thinking of how this can daisy chain into the next campaign that moves them a little bit further.
Okay. A couple things I want to pull out. One is co-creation. So again, it's recognizing, you know, and I'm sure you've experienced this as a seller, but marketing comes in with this harebrained idea and is like, all right, you're going to go do this. And it's like, no, I'm already doing other stuff. Like, I'm super busy, you know, actually generating pipeline and closing a deal while you're doing your arts and crafts. Like, it just doesn't go as well when marketing comes to dictate. So it typically goes better through a co-creation process. The other thing you outlined is starting super small. And instead of rolling this out across the entire organization, like validating that this works with a small subset of people. And then from there, the last component is just like really quick feedback loops and quick iterations based on what you're actually seeing work right now. Those are kind of the three big things that I pulled out. Is there anything else you feel like I missed as far as what the practical tactical relationship should functionally look like between marketing and sales?
I would just offer this last piece of advice is don't limit it to just the salesperson and the marketing person. You know, there are one of the games I like to play at every company is get to know people in every department, because you never know when the product person has a new feature that is something that has come up in every sales conversation that maybe you could start talking about, or maybe marketing needs to build a new slide deck that you're using in a call because now that feature is a game changer and changes the workflow of how you've been doing demos for years and years. And so it is important to always think about these other departments, the people that are working on the product, working on the business, leadership, a lot of times can be super helpful, not just in coming in on your big deal and making that executive connection. Yes, that's really important. But a lot of these, you know, executives and companies are having higher level conversations. When they're meeting with their peers, they're talking about the macro environment and, you know, these changes that you should probably know about when you're talking to people further down, so that when this gets to a final stage and you think that this deal's coming in and you're already spending your future commission check as a salesperson, you're not hit with that, you know, blindsided information of actually a lot of CFOs are not signing deals right now because there's another layer of scrutiny because they think that this thing's going to be happening in the economy coming up. And so I think being able to have relationships with other people in other departments changes the game entirely, because you get a better perspective of what does this look like across different organizations, across different industries, and not just the tactical in the weeds that you're so used to dealing with, you know, this one deal here, this one deal there.
Yeah. I often think about marketing, like in sales alignment, and ABM is a cross-functional program. And I typically think about that from the perspective of a marketer and like how they're supposed to go talk with product, but admittedly it shouldn't be one person that's having all these individual siloed conversations. Like, because then you're still siloed, but it's more probably, for lack of a word, some form of a group or committee that's actually coming together, discussing these things as a group, and then determining, you know, there should be leadership in that group, to be clear, that makes final decisions. But again, to bring all the perspectives together. That sounds really, really great for breaking down silos across the organization, which is typically the goal of an ABM program.
Yeah, I think the leader needs to ask themselves, how do I change the culture in my org from an us versus them to a conversation which, even if a meeting goes well and people are griping about another department, you have somebody or multiple individuals say, you know what, I got a buddy over in this department, let me just give him a quick call and we can figure this out, rather than letting that, you know, toxic kind of conversation continue to boil and fester and be something that bleeds into other meetings. And so how are you fostering that relationship? How are you making introductions and making it easy for the different departments to work together?
Last couple of just quick questions. And then really, I would love to just kind of point people towards where they can find you. As you think about specifically targeting, like one of the running jokes in an ABM program is that the first ABM like target account list, it's just sales wish list. And I always make the joke of like, yeah, so our target account list is Microsoft and Apple and now NVIDIA or OpenAI, despite the fact that we have historically sold into the SMB. Like, it's just like wildly inaccurate. So I'm curious, like, what is the role from a sales perspective in actually developing that target account list?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest and best things that you can do is look for the quick wins. And so from a data perspective, it's looking at, okay, what are the deals that are the easiest for us to close, the ones that close the quickest, so that I can start to generate that. Because, you know, the easiest thing you can do as a salesperson or a marketing person to get more budget for an initiative is to show that that initiative is actually generating something on the other end. And so that's one of the first places that I would start to look is, what is the data telling us, statistically speaking, and not just, you know, your heart saying, I would love to be the guy that closed Google. It's a way for you to kind of check yourself on that. Then the other place I would look is, and I've posted about this multiple times on LinkedIn, is just, you look at accounts that you have had conversations. There has been a contact that likes you. There's been a real pain in the past. They understand what you're about, but something fell through at the last minute. Maybe it's a feature that you didn't have before that you've now created. Maybe it's that they just didn't have budget before. And guess what? We're in January now. A lot of companies have new budgets. And there's a lot of reasons why you might want to talk now that was, you know, the reason that it couldn't close before. So whenever I start at a new organization, something definitely focused on here at Scrappy ABM is, what are those conversations that maybe fell short for some reason or another in the past that I could quickly get re-engaged and get some of those quick wins to generate some momentum and some excitement into, you know, what the longer term, you know, programs are going to be.
So you're saying that your first program that you're working on here at Scrappy is a closed loss program?
That's absolutely right.
If only everyone started there. Sorry, if you've listened to the podcast or followed me on LinkedIn for any length of time, I probably talk about closed loss every other week as like the best program of all time. And I get hate for it. People are like, why would we start with people that already said no to us? And I was like, because they know that you exist and they had a stated problem and you know all the information about them and exactly what you have to overcome to win the deal back. So anyway, sorry. I love the fact that like, when we started, it was like, all right, we're starting. We both agreed closed loss was just like the immediate first place to look for us to generate some quick pipeline. So, Jim, really appreciate you coming on the show, kind of walking through from your perspective as a seller, role of ABM programs, and like how to generate some quick wins. If people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, LinkedIn is going to be the easiest place. I post there all the time. I have a show, Account-Based Beverages. We've done 2 seasons in the works, season 3. So that'll be coming out here in a couple months. And obviously, you can just email me directly at jim@scrappyabm.com.
Awesome. Well, Jim, again, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.